talk about that sonar image, too.
Yes.
For sure.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And I'm Stephanie. And
you don't say. Back for another Tuesday. Here we are. We survived the blizzard.
We survived the blizzard here in Minnesota, and now it's hitting out east, so I hear maybe it's done. I don't know. But it's sure,
Yeah.
It snowed for 5 days here in Minnesota, can I just say? But, you know, it's kind of fun this time of year, though, because winter solstice, you know, the Christmas celebrations and everything. So, but who knows, you know, with our luck, it'll probably get warm and all the snow will go away and then we'll be left with a brown Christmas again. So
I'm okay with that.
We just never know. Yeah, you know.
I'm okay with it. But, yeah, you know, it's weird because with the holidays coming up, whatever you celebrate, I mean, usually there's how many holidays this time of year right now? And with Thanksgiving being so late, it's like we lose a week in between.
Yeah.
And so now our holiday season just got a week shorter, I think, if that's what it feels like to me anyway.
I know. We were talking at work today, and so a lot of us always take off that whole week of Christmas, and you know, up and we come back like the day after New Year's because everybody else has vacation time left over and whatever. And we were talking about it, and I'm like, so somebody said, well, we only have 2 weeks, you know, and then we're off. And I said, 2 weeks? No, I think there's 3 weeks, right? This week, next week, and then one more, and then we're off, you know. But I'm like, I don't make it any shorter than it already is.
I know, right?
I know.
Well, 3 weeks from today is Christmas Eve, so.
Yes, I know. So really, there is only like 2 weeks left of work in a couple days, you know. So, yeah, lots to do in those 2 weeks.
Anyway. I know. It's just, it's weird with Thanksgiving. I was going to say Halloween. I'm still stuck in that mode. It feels like it's a little later. I guess it is a little later, but, you know, we just get to cram all the fun into a shorter amount of time and we should be good to go.
Yeah. And there's so much to cram in. Oh my gosh. I mean, at work we have like event after event after event, and you know, I'm the event planner. So it's like, I'm just crazy swamped right now because there's just so many going on. It's crazy.
Well, if there's if there's a ton of events and you're the event planner, can't you just not plan as many events?
Well,
or does it not work that way?
No, it doesn't work that way. I mean, today we called it decking the halls, and we put up our Christmas trees. And so we ordered in, we had a little cocktail mix. We had peppermint schnapps and hot cocoa from Caribou. And so we spiked the hot cocoa, if you wished. And then we had a couple of different kinds of beer, you know, so everybody could, you know, have a drink and put an ornament on the tree. It was very fun. Actually, it was very fun. And then next week we have something else. And then the following week we have a couple of other things. So yeah, it's like just, you know, Party City at Navitaire, you know, so it's fun. It's fun. Cool. It's a fun time of year. But our chalkboard is full of all these events. You know, it's like just dizzying, you know, but it is fun. But I have to do my
celebrate
other too. So it's not just the events. I have to get everybody, all the other stuff done as well. Yeah.
Your regular job.
Yeah.
So do you guys celebrate the like other holidays around the season?
We do. You know, we have a lot of events because, you know, we work for the airlines, and so we have a lot of software developers, and, you know, that's a big industry. And if you don't provide a lot of perks, they don't stay, right? They want the perks. And so they love, like, we have, they say, the best snack table. We saw somebody who came to work for us said, oh, yeah, I was reading in Monster, whatever, Jobs or whatever, that this company is the best because you have all these snacks all the time and all these parties and blah, blah, blah. And so people really dig it. You know what I mean? They really like the fun atmosphere. But yeah, it just, you know, after a while, it's like, oh my gosh, this is just crazy now. Let's just have a kind of normal few weeks here where we're not celebrating something. And it's never going to happen. But it's fun.
No, I guess, I meant, like, do you guys celebrate other things besides Christmas? Because you said you put up Christmas trees. I just wondered, do you celebrate some of the other holidays that are around this time?
Well, like, for Thanksgiving, we did the pie social. You know, we have yearly events that we do every, you know, but we celebrate birthdays. Every month we have a birthday celebration, and we try to get somebody whose birthday it is to pick out what they want to have, you know, to order in food or drinks or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it's it depends on the season. We go via the season, whatever the season is.
I didn't know if you meant, like, and do you celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, you know, the other stuff that's around this.
Oh, well, we call it holiday parties, but we decorate Christmas trees, right? Because we don't really have any Jewish people or anybody who celebrates Hanukkah in our office, you know. But we have a menorah and stuff, too. I mean, you know, it's all there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, it's fun. But, yeah, it gets a little much, you know, this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing after another, so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't have a holiday party because it's just me.
Yeah, so. I know. You're the one and only.
Yeah, that's it. So it'll be kind of a lame party.
Yeah, but that's okay. So what else is happening with you?
Well, let's see here. I had a fun and exciting holiday weekend myself because on Tuesday, my dog got into the garbage can, and apparently he's a magician. He's 10-pound Chihuahua Minpin mix, for those of you who don't know him, which most of you probably don't. And he got into the garbage can. It's the kind of garbage can that you step on the lever to open the lid. And he somehow got into the garbage can and took chicken out of the garbage and ate it, bones and all.
Oh.
Gone. Yeah, so that wasn't good. And so, you know, had to take him to the vet and make sure. And first of all, I don't know how he got into the garbage because he's little and you need a bunch of like limbs to get the thing open and to be as short as he is. I don't know how he did it. He didn't knock the garbage over. The garbage was still standing. So I don't know how he got in there. And so I think he had help somehow. Some spirit was here giving him a lift or something. And so I had to take him to the vet, though, and he was fine. And I don't, I mean, granted, we had some issues that we had to work through the system, but I won't go into detail. But he was okay. I was so glad. So that was, it was kind of just a long weekend for that reason, because, you know, it takes time to move that stuff through. But
absolutely.
I'm super glad he was okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was scary. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's been a lot of spirit activity here over the last few weeks. And so I don't know what's going on because it's not – there's no way he could have gotten in the garbage. I mean, there's obviously a way he got into the garbage.
Yeah.
But you look at the math, like how big he is and how tall he isn't and all these garbage can heights and stuff. It's like that shouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
And then stuff has been getting knocked off the shelves by, you know, just, you know, literally knocked off the shelf. Like, it's not stuff that's falling because I just recently cleaned the shelves and moved stuff around and everything was nice back against the back of the shelf and stuff is getting moved off the shelf and dumped onto the floor. So I don't know what's going on here, but it's getting a little bit active. And so I think it's kind of interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Mike says dogs are sneaky. Yeah, they are sneaky.
Well, they are sneaky. And one of mine is always in the garbage too. Man, if she can get in there, she's there. You know?
Yeah. I just, this isn't possible. Like, he had to have had help and he's by himself. So I don't know who helped him. So Anyway, it's just been, you know, it was a crazy weekend, and but it's been busy with work. It's been so, I think a lot of people have just been kind of, there's a lot going on in the universe, I think.
There
and just,
is.
The holidays now, too. I think people just need some, R&R.
I agree. Me too. I mean, you know, it's time, this time of year, like I said, a lot of us take it off at the end of the December, and it's like, oh my God, there comes to a point where I'm like, I need to be away from here now because I've had enough of all you people. Every year it's the same, you know? So yeah, a couple weeks and I'll be good for a couple weeks. So anyway, so I'm excited about our guest tonight, Heidi.
Absolutely.
Because
very cool.
She's been on our show before, and she was so fun to talk to, and now we get to catch up with her to see what she found this summer. So everyone, welcome Katie Elizabeth. Katie, hello.
Hello, ladies. Good evening. It's so nice to be back on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun to have you back. For those of you who don't know, so Katie Elizabeth is a cryptid researcher, and her specialty is lake monsters, specifically Champ, the lake monster of Lake Champlain. So first of all, Katie, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell everyone where exactly you're located and about Champ.
Okay, let's see. Blurt out my line.
Yeah.
My name's Katie Elizabeth. I am the president and founder of Champ Search, an organization that is dedicated to studying proving the existence, and most importantly, protecting the unique animals that inhabit Lake Champlain, known as Champ. And I am located in Ferrisburg, Vermont, on the shores of Lake Champlain.
Awesome.
Cool. Very cool. So we would love for you, because we were trying to think of when you were on the show, how long ago it was. And so you had a busy summer, though. I mean, we saw, I saw on your Facebook page, I kind of saw some of the things you were working on. But why don't you catch the folks up to date with what you have been working on since the last time you were here?
Gosh, I believe, I think we were talking about this earlier, how long it's been. I believe it's been a year. It might be
so.
Longer than a year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was
about a year.
Yeah, I do too.
Time goes by so fast. Oh my God. Especially the summertime when, you know, these animals are in peak season. I hate the end of the year. When it gets to like September, October, I start getting depressed.
because it's the end of the season.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. And if I, you know, every year I'm extremely fortunate to have gotten something, whether it be echolocation recordings, which I've gathered, I've got quite a few echolocation recordings in Lake Champlain, which in a freshwater lake itself, that is just an amazing discovery because there is no known fish, mammal, amphibian, reptile, you know, anything
right.
that is in a freshwater lake that produces echolocation. So over the course of, gosh, it's been since 2012, I mean, I've been studying Champ and Nessie, Ogopogo, other lake monsters around the world since I was 7 years old. But until I, you know, got up here in 2012, it was basically, I call it butt research. I mean, I use the other word, you know, I try to be a little bit more proper.
Appreciate it. Right.
Butt chair research, which is great, you know. And a lot of cryptozoology, there's a lot of people that do Bigfoot and not many that do lake monster. That's
right.
The funny thing about what I do is there's no woman in the world that does this, which I find really, really strange. But I don't in a way because it's such an extensive endeavor and it's not just expensive. It's so time consuming.
Yeah.
And so over the course of since 2012, 7 years, I have gotten echolocation sounds on the hydrophone system. I have gotten videos of these animals as well. Also, really interesting piece of game cam footage at the mouth of Otter Creek that runs into Lake Champlain. I believe I talked to you guys about some of the marsh sightings on land sightings that have happened in my area.
Yeah,
and that was
crazy.
Right in the vicinity of Otter Creek. And you know, we have a lot of tributaries that lead into Lake Champlain, and those areas for me are a high interest because it's, first of all, it's unique and nobody else is actually going out in a bunch of swamps looking for these animals either. And in, you know, stories with Nessie and Ogopogo, there have been on land sightings as well. So it's really, really cool to think outside the box. And as well as you girls know, doing the Sasquatch research, you know, it's great. It's so fun to talk to other ladies that are in the crypto field because, you know, we're far
so few of us. Yes.
Yeah.
It's such a men's club.
And as you guys know, I mean, I am not sexist by any way, but it's hard to establish yourself at the beginning into the crypto field. Because, you know, you got a lot of guys who've been into this for many, many, many years. And they're like, oh, well, you know, like with me, look at this dumb blonde. And look at you, Tony. It's true. It sucks, you know. And it's very, very hard. And I really had to, you know, I'm not out to impress anybody. I do this for my self-gratification and to fulfill what I had as a dream when I was a child. And, you know, we all have that peak of interest where we love the unknown. We have that in common and we want to figure this out. And, you know, as you got, you know, you girls go out looking for Bigfoot and, you know, you guys are about protecting them. That's the overall goal. And that's the same thing with me. You know, I mean, I've been on a lot of TV programs and podcasts and all kinds of events I do, and you know, you get some people out there like, oh well, you just do that for fame and gratification, and I'm like, wait a second, no. I do this to teach people the true stories of these animals because they've been elaborated into nonsense over the years. That's number one. Number two, to get the kids involved, you know, our youth that are the future of cryptozoology, to get involved and to keep this going after I'm gone, after you got, you know, it's that's what it's education. And and then the protection aspect as well. Obviously they are extremely rare. They're not in every lake, you know, and just like Bigfoot, they're not in every single place. I mean, I believe that there's more Bigfoot than there is lake monsters. But then you got to think of the ocean too. I bet that there's a million things out there also. So it's a toss up, but you know, it's about the protection and bringing people aware and opening up people's minds to other perspectives. And also to teach kids to go out there and live their dream. You know, I mean, the world is full of ridicule as it is.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not this or that or wearing the same clothes, you know, I remember when I was a kid going to school, it was awful. I hated it. It was like, you're not wearing bell bottoms. You're not, you don't have that feather pen, you know, like you don't. I want to teach kids to like say, okay, it's a life lesson. No matter what people say, ignore it. Follow your path and your dream. And that's the end of it too. You know, I mean, there's a few aspects of it, but that's why I do so many, you know, events, TV shows and podcasts, because I want kids to learn this and other people to pursue what they love and say, I don't give a crap what somebody else thinks. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to be a free spirit and do what I want, because that is self-gratifying. And that, I mean, hey, you only live once, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, no, I think too, that people that are saying that, you know, someone's doing something like this, or like you are doing this for fame and fortune or whatever, right? I mean, they're not seeing the day-to-day, all the behind the scenes, all the time, money, and resources that you put into doing something like this that they'll never see. and all they see is maybe one appearance on a TV show, and they think, oh, that's why you're doing this. It's like, are you kidding me? The hard work, the sweat, yeah. the tears, the money, oh everything that gets put into it on a daily basis that they yes. won't see,
no.
you know, when you're on the TV show, they don't see all that that happens every single day. And, you know, for the most part, no one's going to make $1 million doing this because no. there's way too much that has to go into it no. that you're going to get anything out of it. So,
and in that whether way, it be, you know, whether it be gas to go to the lake, gas mm-hmm. for the boat. Money. Okay, so I get, say if I get a brand new camera, $500, and all of a sudden, whoops, something broke on it. Or, you know, my SD card's crapped out, or I lost some, or, you know, there's always something that comes up. And then, I'm going to tell you the truth, and this is kind of like a personal thing for me. Anybody that's ever said anything like that, they are mad because they're not accomplishing much. I'm being totally honest.
It's
and unfortunately,
true.
You know, I'm the type of person, if someone gets on a show or they find something amazing, I'm like, yeah, you go. That's freaking awesome, you know?
Yes.
But that's because I'm a positive person. And the funny thing is, I've had a few people say those kind of things about me, and I kind of giggle because about a month before, they're asking me how to get connected to a producer to be on a show. And I'm like, wait a minute. I remember when you were asking me how to get on TV and all this stuff. And I'm like, hang on a second. You know?
Yeah.
It's comical. And then I look back at that and go, you know what? People that are miserable with themselves.
Yes.
It's life. You know, unfortunately, there's people out there who are miserable. They put other people down. And that's one thing about me. I don't do that because I've been through, I mean, as we all have, we've been through a lot in life, struggles, financial problems, you name it. And when you're successful, it's like people don't see the other side, like you guys said. They just don't see struggles that you had to go through. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's okay. That's what makes us grow as a better person than yesterday.
That's right. I agree. And people don't understand that either. The whole money thing, I mean, the things that we have to buy all the time, not just that, but traveling expenses, it's expensive to do what we all do. You know, it's just, you know, but we do it because we love it, because we're doing it for ourselves. And that's what we say with our research group too. You know, people say, well, what do you hope to accomplish? Well, we just are doing this for us. We're not out to prove to the world the Sasquatch exists. We're out to prove to us that he exists, you know, and all these other cryptids too. Lake monsters as well. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
sure.
Do you want me to continue about what I found this year or?
Sure.
What?
We'd love to hear about it. Yes.
Because I get lost in talking and everything else, so don't mind me. But you guys can ask me the question. I'm just going to shut up now.
We'd love to
hear what you worked on.
Yeah, and I put your website on our chat room. So for the listeners out there, if you are on the internet, it's officialchampsearch.web.com.
That's my website. It looks like 1980s right now because I haven't had a chance to really update a lot.
But it's cool. And so I want to ask you about those photos that you got with the ones that you got this year. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty interesting. So they're right on the first page, right? They're on the homepage, I believe.
Yeah, they are. And I'm actually going to post some better photos where it's brightened up a little bit. People can kind of see the outline a little bit better. And I also have some like comparisons to the famous photo that was taken by Sandra Mansi in 1977 with these horn-like protrusions on top of the head. And I guess I'll start with that for like the listeners that really don't know too much about CHAMP and the lake monster stories or legends, as they call them, that have been all over the world. Starting out with, you know, over in Scotland with Nessie, the Scandinavians talking about the sea serpent. There's so many stories, and the Native Americans, Ogopogo, CHAMP as well, they call them the horned serpent. So for a long time, I was like, horns? Well, that's kind of strange, you know? You're thinking of, like, goat-like horns or to something really, really weird. And morphologically and with species-wise, I'm like, that doesn't really make much sense. But after having, I had a head and neck sighting a few years back, and I remember my partner, Dennis Hall, who's done this for, gosh, probably 35 years, field research. He was sitting with me, and we were looking across the lake, and he says, oh, look through the scope. And I said, okay. And he says, there's two champs out there. And I said, you're full of beep. I said, you're full of it. And I looked, and it looked like, at first, it looked like two upturned boats, which is a typical Nessie sighting. And I, you know, I had my sighting in 2012, and that's when I really, you know, that's when I started doing the field work officially. And, you know, I had a sighting then. I had a camera. It was in the car because I'm like, I'm not going to see anything. And when I went with the camera, it was like I ran to the car, went to sit back down, take video. It was gone. And years later, it was a couple of years later, it was 2014 in August. It was August 9th. I got a really awesome video of a champ animal moving across Button Bay. And there was no head. It wasn't a typical, everybody thinks, you know, when you see a lake monster per se, you're going to see the head and neck up in the air. That's very, very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you just see the back come up. And I grew up in the ocean state. I grew up on the water. I've done a ton of studies on marine biology, which I plan on going to college for that. But I had that sighting and I was just like amazed, but it was crazy because before that, it was after that, I had my head and neck sighting. And like I said, we looked across, he saw two things. I said, oh, it's just boats. Come on now. And when I said that, the animal in the front picked its head and neck up. And I just started bawling and crying and thinking, of course. And I'm thinking to myself, if I tell anybody this, they're going to think I'm a complete fruitcake. They're going to throw me in the mental ward. Like, I'm done, you know? But, you know, I don't care. You know, this is what I love. This is my passion. And this is what, not just that I believe, it's what I know. You know, I'm a very logical person. And I didn't get, I tried to get video of it, and the camera I had at the time was crap. But I have a really good camera now. And this summer, I was just like kind of ticked off because I went all the way till August. The most, how would I put this? The most frequent time, the best time to have a sighting is between April and September. The most common month is July, August, September. July and August being the best. And I believe that's
because it's warm.
Yeah, ectothermic, which is either reptile or amphibian. So they need that higher temperature to sustain their core temperature. Unlike mammals, warm blood, and even, you know, human being warm blooded, we basically produce that ourselves. We're warm blooded. Mm-hmm. They're not. So there's been a lot of sunbathing reports of these animals, which indicate ectothermic. But, you know, there's seals, there's other mammals, you know, they do sunbathe as well. But they would have to come up for air all the time. Mm-hmm. And we would see them more free. They would be more social also. So that's what leads me to believe that these animals are either reptile or amphibian. Amphibian, I'm leaning a little bit more towards, but it's very confusing. It's like there are so many traits that indicate both. So I'm only every year I'm trying to like, I'm like, okay, which one do I favor this year? You know, every every year it seems to kind of sway me either way. It's like a seesaw. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't know. But okay. So this summer, it was August 5th, which is very close to my head and neck sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting, the location, and I don't tell anybody because, you know, I don't want anybody diving down. Not that anybody would, but you never know. I was in the same area, very close proximity. So my friends and I went out in my boat, and it was probably like around, I would say like 1:30 in the afternoon. So we went out, it was fairly calm, And I had my friend Frank Horton and his wife Teresa with me. Now, Frank had a sighting many years ago. This is back, I believe it was in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And him and his friend were coming down this hill in Port Henry, New York, that overlooks the lake. And they were deer hunting. And they were coming down the road, and they saw something out on the beach. And Frank's like, "What the hell is that?" And his friend's like, "I have no idea." And he's like, "What the hell?" He goes, "Do you see what I'm seeing?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm seeing what you're seeing." So they were just like ecstatic. And they didn't have a camera, because, I mean, like, who drives around with a camera all the time? This is before cell phones, you know? Mm-hmm. So they got down to the spot, and the animal was laying on the beach in the sun, and it turned around and looked right at them. And the way he described the head movement was just like my head and neck setting, kind of slow motion, which indicates an ectotherm. You know, when you watch, say, a bearded dragon, mm-hmm. you know, you watch them turn their head, they do that weird, or like a turtle, they do that weird slow thing.
Yeah.
And when he saw that, he was like, "Holy crap." And then it went off into the lake. It just pushed off in the sand and went on. And he said that animal was at least 30 feet, which is very large. Usually the average size is 15 to 20.
Yeah.
That, in my opinion, if these animals are either reptile or amphibian, they grow as long as they live. So that animal was probably, I would say, either grandma or grandpa champ, who was an old one.
Wow.
And so we went out in the boat that particular day on August 5th, and I have an 88 Bayliner, and I just, I had gas in it, but I didn't realize how much, because my gas gauge kind of bounces up and down, because mm-hmm. it's old.
Right.
So we're heading north, and we were quite a ways out. And all of a sudden, I slowed down, and then I balanced the boat out, and then it kind of, like, started to, like, stop bobbing. And I said, "Oh crap." I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm almost out of gas." So I had the sonar going, and we took, I would say, 55 or 56 photos before we got this image with the sonar.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Turn around, and as I'm turning around, it was really weird. Frank and Teresa yelled to me. They're like, "Hey," because, you know, you can't really hear a hell of a lot because the motor's going. They're like, "Hey, we just saw something rise to the surface that looked black." I was like, "What?" And I could see something in my peripheral vision, but I was driving and I was too focused to get back to the dock mm-hmm. before we ran out of gas.
Right.
So we're going like crazy. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're just imagining things. It was a wake or, you know, from the boat. That's all I could think of. So then, like, I think 30 seconds to a minute, I would say, went by. And I'm looking at the sonar, and I said, "What the heck is that on the bottom?" Because we were at 165 feet approximately. And it was a sandy, sandy bottom, no rocks or anything like that. And then we just saw these two long things. I was like, "Oh, well, you know, probably debris." So I'm thinking that. So I said, "Well, I'll take a picture of it anyway." I just tap the screen. It takes a screenshot. And then we get back to the dock. Get the boat back. I dropped them off. Went home. I was so tired because we were out in the sun all day. It was a hot, hot day. And I get back home, went to bed. Get up early in the morning. I'm drinking a coffee. And I said, "Oh, let me look at all these images." So I'm looking and looking. I'm like, nope, nothing there. And I came to that one picture. Wow, this is really strange. So I zoomed into it. And when I zoomed in, the one to the right, I just started crying, and I couldn't, it was un-freaking real, because that head neck sighting, I know what the head looks like. It's like, just like a horse's head, the water horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, my first book in my line of books is The Water Horse of Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I was just like, wait a second, is this pareidolia, you know, I'm trying to think, is this,
right,
one of those things where you see stasis and rocks or Jesus in mm-hmm. a piece of toast, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was just, right.
And, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I'm looking at the rest of the animal, and you could see there's some, this appendage in the front. And, of course, you can't see the other side because it was beaming to one side of the animal. And the head's just laying on the bottom, like, okay, oh, there she goes. And then the other one was just this long thing. And I'm like, well, maybe that's a piece of debris. But I looked at that, and I do. It's very blurry. So I imagine that the animal was moving its neck, and it's kind of like a blurry photo, you know, if someone runs by you and you take a picture. So that one is not very clear, but what I could make out is those horn-like protrusions on the top of the head, but it was basically looking towards the back of its head. So you could kind of see them, but they're real. It's kind of a crappy image. So the one that I had presented on my page was the one on the right that you could, I wish both, that other one had his or her head turned around where it was just sitting there the same way. Imagine seeing two identical heads, you know? I mean, that would have been even better. But oh, gosh, I cried. I cried and I partied for like 3 days. I'm like, you know? Thanks. I mean, I called my friend Frank up and I'm crying and crying. He's like, what the hell's the matter? What happened? And I told him, he says, oh my God. So I sent it to him and he's jumping up and down and his wife's like, I knew you'd get something. And I'm like, you guys must have seen something that I believed it then because I wasn't sure, like when they said they saw something come up near the boat.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And it was basically the same freaking spot that I had the head and neck sighting. So I was just like, whoa. So it's just amazing. And I went back to do a control type of experiment.
Katie, we have to go to commercial break, but we will continue this conversation and these sonar images after because we're a little bit late.
Okay, so sounds great.
We will be back in 2 minutes, and this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para-X Radio Network.
UFOs. Bigfoot. Cryptids.
Oh, I'm the caller. Just think it's you listening to the words of Para-X.
James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. We have Katie Elizabeth here with us, and we've been talking about Champy, the Lake Champlain lake monster. And what an exciting story that we had to cut a little short, so we apologize to go to commercial break. But you were talking about your photo, that's on your website, correct?
Yes. Sorry. I mean, I just get going because I get so excited about it.
No, it's totally cool. No, we totally appreciate
it. It's so exciting. And
that's just because you're passionate about what you do.
Absolutely.
So we get it.
Yes, absolutely. So for those of you, if you have a computer and you can get to Katie's website, I did put it on the chat room, but it is the official champsearch.webs.com is her web address. So you should go there and look, and right there on the homepage are these sonar photos that she's talking about. And you're saying that you feel there were two animals down there as verified by these images, correct?
Yes, it was really amazing. Well, I'd like to put out there, if someone wants to go on my Facebook page, if you type in Champ Search, that's more up to date. Like I said, my website looks old. I did put the pictures, but there's better comparisons on my Champ Search page on Facebook if they want to check that out. I just cried because it was just one of those things where you see something and people are like, yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden you get this sonar image and it fits. Because the Sandra Mancy photo that was taken in 1977, if you enhance that photo, which I will put up on the main website, the comparisons, you can see these knob-like protrusions on top of the head that the Native Americans called them horns, but the horn serpent. But I mean, that's like the closest thing that they could, think of. I have many ideas to what those, protrusions may be. Whether or not females, males have them, I'm not sure. I mean, that would be amazing to find out. The males may have them, females may have them. They both might have them. It could be an indication of sex. I'm not sure. But it was just amazing to get that sonar image. And then all of a sudden my phone blew up. I have this newspaper and then the news. And then I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? It was a crazy life. It was a crazy month. It was just amazing. And then you get people who are like, oh, it's just fish on the bottom. So what I did, I'm an angler on the lake as well. I fish a lot. And I said, well, this is what we need to do. We need to get back out in the boat and go back to the spot. If there's still something there, then we need to keep scanning. And that's what we did. And when we went back to the location, they were gone. It wasn't logs. Because there was a couple of people that are like, oh, it's logs. I'm like, okay. So a log had the face just like the Mancy photo, just like the Baudette footage that was taken in 2005, Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I did a controlled experiment where I went back out there and there was nothing there. And that was the best thing. Because I'm like, oh, I'd love to get another image of them. But the most important thing, for being a stationary object or substrate on the bottom, that was another remark that I had heard. When I went back, they were gone. And I said, well, it's not a log.
Yeah, or big rocks or something. Yeah, no, yeah. I think that was the best thing ever.
Actually. I mean, the comparisons are just absolutely amazing. So I was just totally thrilled. And that was, to me, that was probably... I mean, I got the echolocation, which was amazing. I got video, which is amazing. But that confirmation, and actually the coolest thing, too, two animals in the same area, I saw those two. Mm-hmm. And it was within, oh, gosh, I believe, I'm trying to remember. I think it was within, days of each, it wasn't that far from the date. Mm-hmm. So I know where to go. I know what to do now. I was going 45 miles an hour, and I think what happened was that they could hear the sonar, because any animal that can echolocate, they have high sensitivity of hearing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And there was a story back in 1993 when a Japanese crew came up here. They chased, they said just one. There was only one on the sonar. Maybe the other one just kind of branched off. I'm not sure. But they tend to travel in groups, and I think it might be some sort of kind of a pecking order thing for feeding. And they also have this pattern where you'll see one and then you'll see something kind of off diagonally in the background. It's almost it sounds weird, but Canadian geese, how they fly in a V formation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. It's really, really strange. So these are just by observation, but it was just the coolest thing. But the Japanese had gotten something very similar, and they chased it for 15 minutes, and they couldn't even keep up with it. And mind you, they had, I believe it was 13 boats.
Oh, my goodness. And this,
they had a whole fleet. They were here for a month. And where they got that sonar was very close to where I was. So I have I think this year is going to be the bomb. It's really going to be good.
And so
I,
what, What is it about that part of the lake that you think that they might like? I mean, why
is it
that
deep there?
Oh, it's pretty deep, right? 146 feet.
Well, it's funny because the majority of sightings are actually, I would say, between 65 to 70 feet or less. And I have an idea for that. I think it's because the concentration of fish is greater in more shallow areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you get into like the really, really deep water, you'll see like fish here, maybe a little school of bait fish, mm-hmm. and it's much bigger of an area to mm-hmm. cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, the only reason why I think they were down that far at the time is just we caught them by surprise. I mean, they heard the sonar come, they're like, "Oh, where are they gonna go down?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think they were kind of hiding.
Yeah, and that one that you can make out, he's just like resting on the bottom, and it's almost, I kind of laugh because I want to have someone make a cartoon of it where he looks really, because he looks disgusted, in my opinion. He really looks disgusted, like, ew, what the heck? She's hurting my ears. Turn that damn sonar off. What the hell is wrong with you,
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, we made jokes about it for weeks, my friends and I. We were laughing, and it was just amazing. And the cool part, too, and I know, you guys are into the paranormal stuff, and I used to be a paranormal investigator before I really got into the field work doing this. And I kind of stopped because I had some really strange experiences where a couple things kind of followed me home, and I'm a very empathic person, so I'm just like, okay, I got scared, and I was like, I'm done. But what was really interesting was that my friend Frank, who was on the boat, because he had his sighting on land, he's actually a Cherokee native, and he's a medicine man. So when we were out on the boat, I said, can you do something for me? And he's like, what? I'm like, can you do some kind of prayer to the creator of the horned serpents, to show themselves and everything else? And this is the craziest part. He did a whole ceremony with sage, and he had his rattle, and he had a feather fan, and I mean, he had all this stuff, and it was the coolest thing. And after that, we got the sonar. And yeah, not that I believe that these animals are just a pet, because I mean, there's some people that think they're just a paranormal entity, but I don't believe that. I believe that they're biological. But the Native Americans, their story here with the Abenaki and Iroquois was that the creator created the champ animals to protect Lake Champlain. So I think that there's some sort of kind of like a weird bubble in a way. That's the best way I can put it, around them. Where, I mean, it's really hard for people to get like really clear video. I mean, I've gotten video, but it wasn't the best. It's not like, and even if it was, then people are going to say, oh, you hoaxed it, you faked, how it goes.
Yeah. Well, everybody does that, right? But yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The pictures on Facebook, people should go check them out because they are different than the one that's on your website. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely need to put them on the website for sure. I'm so slacking behind on the website.
No, it's cool. Well, I mean, it's hard, on Facebook, and people can see it there. It's pretty cool. I do have a question in the chat room for you. So I think you had mentioned, because Mike AZ in the chat room was asking how long you've been hunting for, champ in these pictures and to try and catch evidence. And I think in the beginning of the show, you said you'd started when you were 7, right?
Well, I started dabbling in lake monster research when I was 7. I saw the famous Sandra Mansi photo that was taken in 77 on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. That was the best. He had the voice for TV. And every time like the theme song would come on, I'd get totally creeped out. And that's when I started getting into like the studies. And then I finally, years later, because my mom wouldn't even bring me up here at the time. I was like, thanks, Mom. But years later, in 2012, years and years later, I finally came up here. It was funny because I wanted to go on a trip somewhere. And I'm like, I was watching, I think it was National Geographic. They had lake monsters or sea monsters of the deep or something to that. Or monsters of the deep. I can't remember the title. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's it. We're going to Lake Champlain. I've been wanting to go there my whole life.
Right.
It,
right.
You you know, it wasn't a million miles away. I mean, it was like four and a half, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how I got into the field work after I had my first sighting.
Cool. So what about that day now? Mike was wondering, you know, how long had you been out there that day when you got the photos, the sonar images?
Let's see. Well, we were just out, let me think. We were out the day before, and we went by the same location. We didn't see anything. We didn't get anything on the sonar. I took around 150 photos, like tons of them. Because mm-hmm. I see something weird. And on the screen, when you have the sun glaring down, it's really hard to, like, see on the screen in detail unless you zoom in on the computer. It's like, kind of blah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I would see something different, I'm like, all right, I'll take a screenshot. And I even found a shipwreck, which was really freaking cool. We found a shipwreck, yeah, over in Port Henry. And it was weird because I did a little bit of research, and the only thing I could find, it was a possible, I think it was a draw boat, which was from the 1800s. And, because, I mean, we had the Revolution here, Benedict Arnold. There's a lot of bloodshed and history here on the lake. And
mm-hmm.
so when I got that, I was like, oh, crap, like, that's cool. Like, maybe I'm the first one to find this. But the only thing I could find was that there's a place locally called the Maritime Museum. And they did say that they found a draw boat in Port Henry, but they didn't say where it was. Like, I guess they don't want, if there's anything on it, they don't want people to, like, dive down and steal it.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure if it's the same shipwreck, but we did find a shipwreck, which is really amazing, because we went over it, and I was like, wait a second, and that's, like, my visual training, you know, being a fisherman, like, knowing the water, and mm-hmm. studying all, I mean, I do a lot of treasure hunting, too, with metal detectors and all that fun stuff. So
mm-hmm.
it's really beneficial to have that background of that to help with the research, just like the biology as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was amazing. So, I mean, we were out there the day before, got that, didn't see anything else abnormal. And then the next day, that's when we got the sonar pictures. So that was just freaking amazing. It really was. I'm still in
that's
shock.
Cool.
I mean,
I love it.
That's super cool. And just for how big that they might be, I mean, you said earlier that they're average, what, 12 to 15 feet? And the one was possibly 30 feet?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh. Like, that's I don't huge. Even know what I would do, because I'm not a huge fan of being in the water without a boat. And I'm not a fan of boats either. I love the water. I don't want to be in the water. And so I can imagine, you know, and I, like, I don't understand. Animals in the water can be so big, and that just, it kind of freaks me out. And I'm not scared by a lot of things, but I don't like big animals in the water. Like, that just, I'm out of my comfort zone when I'm in the water, so I think that might be why. And I think of being in a boat, because I was in a kayak once, and I was, now granted, I was on the ocean, and I was kayaking, and something really big and slow moved under my kayak. I was by myself, and I was, like, freaking out, because I thought, you know, you could, like Jonah and the whale, right? You could just be
right.
swallowed up,
good.
Be knocked off, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff I think about, and I think of you out there in your boat, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's
right.
so crazy, because, like, one swipe of a tail, man, and you're gone, right? Gone off the boat.
You sound like my mom. She's
sorry.
Always nervous. She's like, no, it's okay. Okay. But she's like, oh my
that
god.
It probably won't happen. But it's just,
she's
I think
like, oh my god, what if one comes up to you? I'm like, mom, they don't bother people. Like, there's never been any story where they've gone after people. There's been a lot of accounts of children jumping off docks, and I think the reason why they, you know, there's been experiences with that, I think that they're giving off echolocation, and they hit that, you know, spout of bubbles coming up.
Right.
And maybe they
right.
can get to school. It attracts their attention, and possibly because
yeah.
they have such high hearing that they're hearing that. And like, well, what the hell is that, you know?
Yes. Oh,
and,
absolutely.
But they've never harmed anyone. There's been a couple of accounts of them rubbing against people and people freaking
no,
out. But they're just like, I think
yeah.
it's more curiosity. And I'll tell you what, I don't swim in the lake. I've been in the lake once. That's it. I go in the lake up
oh,
to
so
my.
You don't swim in it. Oh. Oh.
Well, it's kind of
fun to go swimming in it and see what you find.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but not really, because we have a lot of sewage that gets in the lake, which is a big problem.
Oh, yeah.
Really sad, and it's a long story, but and that's another reason too. But you know, I'm afraid of them by any means, but I don't think I would like one swimming right now unless I was for certain, like it was like a like a dolphin's good disposition. I mean, I have a phobia for water where if I can't see the bottom, I don't swim in it. There's a lake north of here called Lake Willoughby, and there's been stories of animals in there as well, and like Champ, and also Lake Nefremagog, which is much darker and weirder than Lake Willoughby. But Lake Willoughby is very, very, very clear. It's like the Caribbean. It's unreal. And I swim in there no problem. If I can see the bottom, I'm like, oh, this is nice. You know, if it comes up, I'll swim out. You'll swim out. It.
Yeah. Nope. So I have one question before we go, because we're going to have to go pretty soon because time has been flying. But so where do the lake monsters go in the winter time? Because I know you said that they're super active in the middle of the summer. What about the middle of the winter? Where do they go?
That's a great question. Some of my research is in the winter time, actually, and you know, mostly, like I said, we have the sightings that start in April all the way till October, and then they start, like, you know, dying down to non-existent during the winter. So what I do is I go out on the ice, I drill holes, I fish at the same time a lot of times. I'm like, hey, maybe we'll catch some fish at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I put the hydrophone down, I put the underwater camera down, and I try to see if I can get any type of sounds, echolocation, or vocalizations under the ice. I never have gotten anything underneath the ice, even though when I was on the Science Channel, they kind of made it seem that way, but that recording was in the summer. But of course, you know, they kind of do their own thing for TV, and I had to explain to everybody. I didn't get that in the summer. I mean, I didn't get that in the wintertime. It was the summertime. But what I try to do is go out in the winter, you know, on the ice and try to get some type of documentation of where they might be doing their, you know, torpor-like state. I haven't figured that out yet, but in the springtime, there have been quite a few sightings in the marshland, and I think the reason for that, there's kind of a few theories that I believe. They could be going in caves. That's, like, the most common in the wintertime. If they're mainly air breathers, which I don't believe that they are because we see them all the time, but one theory, there's one, the long-necked seal. They could be going into caves and there's an air pocket, or there's air pockets under the ice. But with reptiles and amphibians, especially amphibians, they breathe through their skin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they can stay underwater for such a long time. And amphibians can breathe air as well. And with the common snapping turtle, for an example, they actually have specialized skin cells beneath their tail where basically they breathe right through their butt. So that's it's a really interesting thing. So in the marshland, I've wondered if, because there's a lot of like deep pothole pond like areas, and they could be hibernating in those areas as well, because there's a couple out in the marsh that you can't get to unless it's frozen. Like, I need an airboat. And I have a drone that I'm going to be using this spring, but they could be hibernating out there in the mud and these deep pothole ponds. Okay. I just don't know. So I try to
do research.
Yeah, exactly. And every year I'm just like, okay, where are they? Where'd they go? Did they go to Florida? Yeah. You know? So yeah, that's a great question. And I'm trying to figure that out. And that's one of my goals is to figure that out. And
awesome.
And the biggest goal really is to get a DNA sample of the water or something like that, whether it be a skin sample, say if we find a dead one, which never happens, but you never know. I think the water sampling will be a big step into the future.
Okay, well, on that note, we have to go. We'll have to have you back with your research that you find.
Yes, for sure. So,
thank you for having us, for being on with us.
Good luck on you're going to be on a TV show soon, but we can't say what or when, but we will put that on our Facebook page at some point.
Yes, I'm really excited about it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, It will be fun.
Good.
All right. All well, right. Thank you, Katie, and we'll have you on again. And
thank you, Para X. Everybody yep. listening, Sarge, yep. our producer.
Thanks to the soldiers Seth. If you're on. You know, thanks for your service because we know you're yes. off and on. And we'll see everyone back here next week at the same time. And our old co-host, Kristen Barton, will be joining us. So it'll be a fun show.
All right. Good night, everybody. Have a good
night.
Week.
Good night.
Good night.